Actually, four things I'm going to share with you. But I have a question for you this morning. How many of you have ever met someone who you look at this person and you say, man, this person is just far from God. Like, they're just mean. You ever look at somebody and say, man, they're just mean. I just wish they would just, like, go away. Now, if you all say that to that, you all are lying. You all in church and you all lying. Because I tell you that I've come across some people in my life who I just wish would just disappear. You know, like, you watch I Dream of Jeannie and, you know, and she could just, like, blink it and this is like, poof, they'd be, like, gone. Come across some people who are just mean and stuff, and he's like, man. But here's some people who are just not mean. They're just really just far away from God. You know, the things of God just really have really no interest. You know, they're just like, yeah, God is kind of out there somewhere. I want to talk about a few of those guys this morning. I want to turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, to Matthew 2. Andre read it this morning. And I'm squinting here because I found out something. That for years, I used to laugh at people who wore glasses. And as I turned a milestone a couple years ago, just like turn the corner. As the days go by, the paper has to be the right distance from my eyes in order for it to come into focus. And don't make it have an italic in there, because if that just messes it up. So Matthew 2 says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where's the one who has been born King of the Jews? We have seen a star in the east and we have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the peoples, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. I'm down to verse 7. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by a different route. The four things I'd like to share with you this morning. The first one is, God wants to reach those who are far away from him. God wants to reach those who are far away from him. The Bible tells us in Matthew 2 that the star appeared to Magi. And these Magi, a lot of people think that these Magi were God-fearing Christians and stuff like that. Magi was not. If you study about Magi, King James called them the wise men. The Magi were like astrologers. They were the brainiacs of the day. They were the scientists. They were the people that people look up to. They were magicians. They were everything else but God-fearing. They were Magi. And so, God reached out and he says, man, look, I'm going to send a star all the way past Jerusalem and past Samaria and stuff. And they say that the Magi really came out of Persia, which was Iran. So all the way across there to send a star to people who were really far away from him. Now, what was really cool also is that the Messiah, Jesus, was the Messiah, but yet still, he sent a star to Gentiles all the way over there. And not only any Gentile, but pagans. I mean, people who are really, really, truly far away from God. God says, I want to reach out to those guys. and I want to bring them in. The lesson here is that no matter how far away from God you are, no matter what you think you have done, what evil thing you've done, what you've stolen, the test that you've cheated on many times over, the issues that you have that nobody knows about, those skeletons in their closets. And everyone has some skeletons in their closet, stuff that you don't want anybody to know about. God says, I want to reach out to you. You are not too far away from me for me to reach out to you. So you're sitting there this morning like, God doesn't want to talk to me. I was reading a book one day and the guy said, man, he got to be so bad that not even the devil wanted to hang out with him. He's like, the devil left me, man. I was on my own. And God wants to reach out to that person, who is far away from him. See, it's no accident that you're sitting right here, right now in this church. It's no accident that whatever the star was that got you here, it was a star. It could have been your kids. It could have been you were lost and wandering off the street. It's like, whoa. The star got you here. First point is that God is saying, come and check me out. Follow me. Follow me. Come and check me out. Check it out for yourself. Check me out for yourself. And see if all the things that have been written about me is true. The message to those rich men. The message to those wise men. The message to the shepherds is that God wants to reach you. God wants to reach you and God wants to talk to you. And he's saying, come. Come and see what I have in store for you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The second thing that God wants you to do today is to really seek him despite the obstacles. Now, you may have things in your life. He says, man, I got to clean this up because these things are standing in the way. God's like, uh-uh. Come to me first and I'll clean up all the other stuff. My thing to you is to just come. I just want you to come. See, these pagan dudes, these magi, they had to travel somewhere between 500 and 1,000 miles. And there was no planes, trains, or if you've seen the movie, or automobiles. There are no plane, trains, or cars to take them. They had to go by camel. And the only choice they had is whether it was a one-hump camel or a two-hump camel. Or by foot. Those are the choices that they have. It's estimated they took them about 3 months of travel time following a star. 3 months to get to Jesus lay. Talk about obstacles. Man, they're going through that desert. They had to probably encounter scorpions and all kind of desert creatures. My son loves to watch Animal Planet. It's amazing how many things live in the desert. Like, you know, snakes and junk. These guys didn't have a full knowledge of Jesus. All they had was some academic knowledge, something that they had read about. And they said that they're going to follow the star. See, on the other hand, of those guys were the Jewish leaders. Now, the Jewish leaders were right there in Jerusalem, which is about a few miles away from Bethlehem. And the Jewish leaders had no concept. Actually, they had kind of heard a little bit thing, but they didn't go and check it out. They didn't go and check it. Three or so, this mic is cutting up there, but they're three or four miles away from Jerusalem or from Bethlehem, and they didn't check it out. They missed seeing the star. They discounted the shepherd's account. They couldn't get over the hump of a head knowledge of somebody, and of Jesus. And I want to say this morning, there are many people sitting in this room today who want to challenge you and says, is your knowledge of Jesus, of the Christ child, a head knowledge? Yeah, I went to church, I went to Sunday school, I did all of that stuff. And I know about the baby Jesus, and I know about the wise men and the shepherds and all that other stuff. And I know about the angels singing glory to God in the highest and all that stuff. But that's where it ends. That's where it ends. You see, if that's where it ends, you're no different than the Jewish leaders who just had a head knowledge that there was some baby born. But the wise men, or the magi, was where it was at. Head knowledge isn't good enough. Teenagers, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Going to church isn't good enough. Reading your Bible isn't good enough. It's not good enough for anything, but what's good enough is a relationship with Jesus Christ, and only can come through diligently following him. Just like the wise man. The third thing I'd like to share with you today is that God wants us to worship him. You know, people get scared by this word worship. It's like worship. Oh man, I gotta like get down on my knees and like cry. Oh. But there's nothing scary about the word worship when you get really down on what it is. All worship is expressing your love to God. It's telling God, hey God, I love you. And expressing it in practical ways. Now, you express love to God in pretty much the same way that you express love to another person, the person that, you know, that you say you love. So what do you do to the person that you say you love? Well, for those of you who were at my wedding 17 years ago, I sang to Donna and surprised her because she had never heard me sing before and she's been wanting me to sing to her since. But I sang the song. I surprised her and I sang One in a Million. And man, I want to tell you something. There are kids in here, man, but her heart melted. Everybody's heart melted. Everybody was crying. I thought they were crying in laughter at me, but I didn't really care about anybody else because I was singing to an audience of one. You didn't even mean to say this, but I even customized the last verse, and I put her name in there like Donna. Man, I was good. I was good as gold, man. That lasted me for about 6 months. You know that, man. I want to tell you, try that sometime. But anyway, just like Donna, God loves when you sing to him. He loves when you sing to him. It melts his heart. He loves it, and that's why we get up here every Sunday morning. But that's expressing your love to God. That's worship. What else does Donna like? I use her. She likes when I talk to her. And tell her the stuff that's going on. Sometimes it's really big stuff, sometimes it's little stuff. She just wants me to talk to her. And you know, men don't really like to talk. So I'm like, okay, all right, I gotta talk. You know those statistics, men speaks like 5,000 words a day and women like 25,000. It's supposed to be a true statistic. By the time I get home, man, my 5,000 is done. You know, I'm like borrowing somebody else's. But God is the same way. When your 5,000 words are done, God still wants to hear you talk to him. He still wants you to tell him what's going on. It's like, God, I hit my toe. It hurts. I can't find my iPod. The littlest thing God cares about, just because you're talking to him. That's an act of worship. Next thing that God wants you to do, just like I'm supposed to do with my wife, is to listen to her. I'm supposed to do to my wife is listen to her. Man, I'm supposed to do. Woman, you're supposed to listen to your husbands. Man, you're supposed to listen to your wives. Kids, anybody you love, you listen to them. And how God talks to us, we talked about a number of ways. But one big way is through the Bible, is through reading the Bible. And God talks to you. Also talks to you through teachers, godly teachers, and stuff like that. Another way that you express worship to God is by giving gifts. And we see with the baby Jesus here, the Magi went and they worshiped the baby Jesus by giving the baby Jesus gifts. And with us, it's just our tithes and our offerings. And it's our voices. And it's any act of service that we do. Taking care of the kids over there in Sunday school and in kids church and in nursery. And it's acts of worship. It's whatever God gave you, giving it back to him. Act of worship. So God wants us to do. He wants us to express love to him. He wants us to worship him. You see, the main difference between regular love and worship of God is a term that I just coined. It's called love with awe. Love with awe. you're like, man, I can't believe that this big God who created this world came and reduced himself to pain as a man, to doing all the things that babies do, like poo, and having somebody, the shame of somebody changing him, all because he wanted to redeem. He wanted to say, look, I don't like you in the situation that you are. I got a better plan for you. I got a better plan for you. And look, I don't want you to say, you have never experienced what I have experienced, Jesus. Jesus says, I know it, and I felt it. I felt everything that you have felt. I felt everything that you are feeling. I know it. I know it. I know it. I felt pain. I've cried. I've laughed. People don't believe Jesus laughed, you know, because they didn't see it in the Bible. They say, oh, Jesus wept. They never saw Jesus laugh. I personally believe, I tell Kevin this all the time, that I believe Jesus had a field day laughing at his disciples. I believe that when Peter was walking on the water, he started to sink. Jesus started, Peter, come on. Come on, man. All you have to do is look at me. You know, if Jesus didn't laugh, I know all the other disciples laughed. If they're anything like us. But I call it love with awe. Love with awe. Love at saying, God, I just thank you. You know, sometimes when you first fall in love with somebody, you kind of have that love with awe. It's like, I can't believe she likes me. So you run around to your friends. It's like, guess what, man? She likes me. The young people did the Gap group did a play a couple weeks ago. And there was a young man back there, and the guy was calling his friend, his mom, and telling his mom, she likes me. I can't believe it. I don't deserve this love from this girl or woman. I don't deserve this love from this guy. And he's like, oh. That's love with awe. That's love with awe. That's it. God, I can't believe he did this for me. That is so cool. So God wants us to worship him. God wants us to love him with awe. That's the third thing that I want you to get from here this morning. And the fourth thing that I want to share with you today is that God wants to transform you. He wants to take you from where you are and take it to where you can be and where you should be. He wants to transform you. You know, there's a song that's really popular on the radio today. I was going to play it for you, but I didn't. The song, the name of the song is I Can Transform You. I can transform you. I can transform you. There are like three people in here who are admitting to know that song. But the words of the song says, I can change your life. I can make it so new. Make you never want to go back to the old you. I can transform you. I can transform you. Anything you want, I can get it for you. You should have known. I did it for you. I can transform you. Now, I don't recommend going out buying that song, by the way. But I just picked up the words, and I picked up some of the words of the song. I was like, man, isn't that what Jesus is telling us this morning? See, the scientists and the sorcerers came to Jesus as magi, but they left as wise men. They came as magi, but they left as wise men. They came finding out for real. All the stuff that they've read about is really true. So much so that they didn't go back. They didn't go back the way that Herod wanted them. God told them, hey, look, I want you to follow my way now. I want you to take a different path. I want you to take a different path and head back. And they said to Herod, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Their lives were forever changed. They came and they were so awed by the fact that God reached out to them and gave them a sign. That God reached out to them. That God reached out to them and gave them a sign in the form of a star to them. And the star led them to something greater than all their brains, than all their knowledge, than anything that they had. They were so awed that they had a first-hand view of the only what people read about. That it literally just blew their minds. They were just, man. They were blown away right then and there with all the thoughts running through their minds. They bowed down with all their brains, with all the stuff that King Herod would talk to them, kings and queens would talk to them. They bowed down to a baby and worship him and were transformed. See, early on the shepherd came and their lives too were transformed. I tell you today that no doubt there are many people sitting in this room saying, I know that I have business to do with God. You know that you have business to do with God. You know that there are things in your life that you haven't turned over to God. Maybe you haven't turned over your life at all. Some people live in a double life. At school, you're one person. At church, you're another person. At work, you're another person. At home, you're another person. You're like Sybil. You know Sybil, you see that movie? So, I mean, how many of you are in there? God's like, no, I want you to live one life. I want to transform you. I want to transform you. I want to transform you. That's what God's message is to you this morning. It's not about play. It's not about any of the fun stuff. It's about you and Jesus wanting to transform you. Just like the rich man in the play and the wise man in the Bible, God is saying, follow me. The message, folks, is right here. It's not a star. It's the message. Follow the message. The message for you, God wants you to follow. God wants to transform you. Why don't you let him do it this morning? Let's pray. I can invite the praise team to come on up. Let's close your eyes and just kind of want you for a second think about, is there anything in your life that you haven't really turned over to Jesus? That you need a transformation? Jesus saying, follow me, man. I can transform you. I can transform you. If this is you, say this prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I recognize that I'm no different than the rich man. I'm no different than the magi. I'm no different than people really far away from you or people really close to you. Lord, I realize that there are things in my life that I need to turn over to you. This morning, right here in the middle of this kids program, Lord, I want to turn it over to you. I want you to transform me. Lord, and if I have never given my heart to you this morning, I want to give it to you. Make me from all these different people into the person that you want. I give it to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen.